You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio in Leeds, joined by Mark Ogden this week, the chief football correspondent for The Independent, who is on the line ahead of the Premier League this weekend, and fresh from a visit to Slovenia to watch the England national side labour to a 0-0 draw in Slovenia. Mark, first of all, good morning to you, sir.
Hi, Dave, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you? How was the trip?
Yeah, it was. It's becoming a bit of a regular theme with England, isn't it? It's go there, watch a game of, well, poor standard and poor result. It's now 4 goals in 5 games against the might of Malta, Slovakia, Slovenia twice, well, Slovakia twice, Slovenia and Iceland. So it's not exactly the Brazil, Argentina and Germany, and they can't score goals.
It's not. And Gareth Southgate, I suppose he's been thrown in at the deep end with the happenings with Sam Allardyce and him being dismissed at an inopportune moment. How do you think he's coped, Southgate, so far?
Well, I think Southgate's coped really well, actually. I think, you know, he made a big decision on Rooney. I mean, I think when Gareth was given the job in the first place, people felt that he'd just be a classic FA yes man, somebody who wouldn't make a decision. But to be fair to him, he's made a big call on Rooney. I think it was the right call, even though England didn't win in Slovenia. I think it was the right thing to do. I think he's done well, but I think, you know, the one thing that he has kind of said time and again, which I don't really agree with, is that the players have had to adjust to the trauma almost of Sam Allardyce leaving. I mean, they met Sam for about a week. You know, he managed one game. The professional footballers, they should be able to handle a change of manager. And especially, like I said, it's not that they're playing football superpowers. They're playing weaker nations, way, way down the FIFA rankings. And you shouldn't need to be spending a week, 10 days with a coach to work out how to beat Slovenia. I think there's too many excuses made for the footballers. I think, again, that's the problem, that they're creating excuses and the players are just hiding behind the excuses.
Mark, why do you think Southgate came in and gave Wayne Rooney the vote of confidence by saying, this man is still my captain, and then 2 games later dropped him from the team?
Well, I was surprised when he came out and said that about Rooney. I think, you know, Rooney's by far and away the most experienced player in the squad. It is a young squad, and I think he felt it was important to have that senior figure on side and, you know, as centre of the team. But Gareth Southgate must have seen Rooney's performances in recent weeks and months for England and United and thought that, you know, he must have felt there was an issue there. And the fact that he's taken one game against Malta to decide to drop him suggests that was an issue there in the first place. Perhaps the captaincy thing was an attempt to boost Rooney's confidence and try and generate a better performance out of him by saying, look, you are my own man and there's no pressure. And, you know, perhaps that was the idea and it kind of backfired. But to be fair to Rooney, he came in against Slovenia in the last 20 minutes and I thought he made a difference. And I think what that told me was that when Rooney can still contribute at international level and at club level, if he plays in the final third, if he continues to be indulged by playing in defensive midfield, it's a waste of time because he's not good enough.
Do you think Southgate will get the job permanently?
I think, as it stands now, I think yes, but it really isn't a game-by-game basis. I think by taking 4 points from a possible 6, it kind of put him on par, you know, ahead of the Scotland game. You know, if they don't beat Scotland, then 3 games, you know, a win against Malta and a failure to beat Slovenia and Scotland isn't great, and then you've got Spain in a friendly, which, with all due respect, you can't really decide the manager's future on the result of a friendly. So I think he has to beat Scotland to really have a proper chance of doing it. He could get the job by drawing against Scotland, but then what would that say for English football, that you're giving the guy a job after 3 games and 1 win against mighty Malta?
I think I speak for most football fans when I say thank goodness the Premier League is back this weekend. We've got 5 live games and we start on Saturday lunchtime with Chelsea versus Leicester. And Chelsea are 4-7 to win the match. The draw 16-5. Leicester 5-1. Mark, I'm not sure whether you're aware or not, but there's been a major move in the last 24 hours for Antonio Conte to be the next Premier League manager to leave his position. He's now 5-2 favourite to be next manager gone, Antonio Conte. Does that come as a shock?
Well, yes, in a word. I mean, the timing comes as a shocker. I mean, I don't think any Chelsea manager can ever walk around thinking that he's got his next 3 years nice and secure, because Roman Abramovich is massively impatient, as we know. But, you know, the guy's only been in charge for 5 minutes. And it's, yes, he's had some bad results. The Liverpool and Arsenal defeats were big, big defeats. And perhaps Abramovich is thinking, well, this is going to take a while. This is not going to be a quick fix. But you can't fix anything if you keep changing managers. So with Chelsea, anything is possible. And although I'd find it difficult to imagine Conte being out of a job anytime soon, Leicester are the champions, and they are capable of getting a result at Chelsea tomorrow. And if they do get a result at Chelsea, then I think Conte is in serious trouble. Ridiculous as it seems for a guy that's a successful guy in Italy with Juventus, and he's done well with Italy. So, it's a strange one. But like I say, Leicester are the champions, and I think 5-1 is that. That is, they are very generous odds. I think Leicester have got it in them to beat anybody on the day.
Yeah, I do. 5-1 looks a big price. I suppose the only question with Leicester is whether their main players have their focus on the Champions League this season, Mark, because we saw them go to Liverpool before a Champions League match and get blown out of the water, and the same happened at Old Trafford as well. I think Riyad Mahrez, just to pinpoint a certain player in that team, is a man that wants to make his impact on the European scene now.
Yeah, I agree, and I've seen both of Leicester's Champions League games, and they were comfortable in both. They beat Bruges and they beat Porto, and then obviously FC Copenhagen in midweek at home, and you'd expect them to win that. And if they win that, then they're pretty much there. You know, they're pretty much through to the knockout stages. So, you know, perhaps the Chelsea game, they might look at that and think, well, we can qualify for the knockout stage of the Champions League on Wednesday. So perhaps their eye will be off the ball. But I think at some point, they're going to have to go to one of these big grounds and get a result. And kind of, I think that there's an element of pride. You know, the Leicester players will not want to be remembered as one of the worst champions in the Premier League's history. And we've had some bad ones recently. You know, Chelsea were poor last year, and you know, Manchester United and David Moyes, they finished seventh. So, you know, the days of champions finishing top two, top three, almost with their eyes closed, are gone. But I think Leicester, they've had a wobble, but I still think they're capable on the day of beating anybody. I think Chelsea are also wobbling, so it's a big game, this one.
Now, are you going with Leicester then, 5-1?
No.
All the build-up, Mark.
I think if Diego Costa wasn't fit, I think Leicester would have a chance. But I think Costa's carrying Chelsea a bit this season, which is remarkable considering his performances last year. But I think Diego Costa is the guy that will bully the Leicester defence. The Leicester defence have struggled a bit this year with, you know, the grappling and the shirt pulling, which they got away with last year. I just think Costa is a difference. I think with Costa, Chelsea will win.
Chelsea to win that match. And Diego Costa, by the way, to score first is 3-1. To score last is 3-1. And he's odds on to score any time here at 17-20. If you think Costa will score in a Chelsea win, that is priced at 5-4. Crystal Palace versus West Ham is the tea time fixture on Saturday. Crystal Palace 11-10. The draw 12-5, and West Ham are 11-4. Lots of enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website right now. Just go to williamhill.com and click on football. I think West Ham will be, or the fans will be, worried about seeing Alan Pardew dancing up the touchline, because Crystal Palace in good form at the moment, and West Ham in anything but. They've only picked up 1 point from their last five Premier League games. And that pre-season optimism with the move to the new stadium, Mark, has dissipated quickly for West Ham, and Palace 11-10, close to even money to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really surprised about West Ham this season. I thought, you know, you see it quite often that clubs that do well one season find the second season much harder. But West Ham also have to factor in the ground move. And, you know, I saw a lot of games at Upton Park, especially last season, and it really was an advantage for West Ham. It's the sort of place where, I mean, opposition teams just don't like to go. And, you know, the performance against Arsenal when they were fantastic against Man United, Upton Park, the crowd was the 12th man. Now, they've left that behind and gone to the new stadium. And I saw the first game there, the Europa League game against Domžale, and I was really surprised by the size of the place and how it just didn't feel like a football stadium. I always felt that there would be a lot of, you know, teething problems there, and that's been borne out. They'd lost the hostility. Opposition teams would go to West Ham there thinking, this is not the place it was at West Ham. So they're going there with confidence, and West Ham are suffering for it. And I think, for me, this is Crystal Palace all day long. I just think that West Ham, people might laugh at this, I think West Ham could go down this season. I don't think they will, but I think they're in the bottom three now, and I think if they don't start getting results, they will be locked in a relegation fight. And they've got the quality to get out of that, obviously, but you know, will the likes of Dimitri Payet want to be around the relegation fight at West Ham? Because that's what they're looking at. And when January comes, and if they're stuck in the bottom three, bottom six, will these players have the commitment and the desire they showed last year to pull them out of it? So I think they've got a tricky time ahead, and I don't think Crystal Palace offers them too much hope tomorrow, because Palace have bounced back after a poor start.
9-2, by the way, it is for West Ham to be relegated here with William Hill. I think they've made some strange decisions, West Ham, as well. I think the players they've brought in the summer, Mark, clearly aren't good enough, and they've let James Tomkins go. He'll be up against them with Crystal Palace on Saturday evening. And they miss Aaron Cresswell, who's out through injury as well. He is in contention to start this game on Saturday tea time. But I think James Tomkins, they got a lot of money for him, Mark, but they've not been the same defensively without him.
No, they haven't. They've not been the same anywhere, to be honest. I think the guy Zaza they brought in from Italy is a big question mark, because he clearly isn't good enough. Obviously, they're missing Andy Carroll, but they will always miss Andy Carroll, because he's never fit for long enough to make a difference. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, Slaven Bilic, his future will be up in the air. I think he's quite close to being one of the favourites to go first as well. And
yeah.
Again, you wouldn't have thought that at the end of last season, but football changes quickly. And sometimes managers, it just goes. They have a grip over the squad and it works for them. And all of a sudden, the players stop listening to the message. And, you know, the ground move and the bad results, nobody is safe in the Premier League. And I think that, you know, Bilic, if this continues, he'll be under a lot of pressure as well.
On to Sunday. A couple of fixtures on Sunday. Middlesbrough versus Watford is the 1:30 kick-off on Sunday afternoon, and Middlesbrough are 5-4 to win the match here with William Hill. The draw 9-4 with Watford, 5-2. What do you make to this one, Middlesbrough versus Watford? It's not one that I think you're going to wolf your Sunday lunch down to see if you're not in front of a television screen, Mark. But Middlesbrough-Watford is the early kick-off on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, these are two clubs that are doing the right, well, I said doing the right thing. I mean, Watford are doing the right thing despite sacking managers every 5 minutes. But they seem to have an idea of how to survive. They make good acquisitions in the transfer market, and they don't regard themselves as something they're not. And I think they accept that a top 10 finish, even top 15 finishes, is good for them. And I think Middlesbrough as well. I saw them at Sunderland when they won at the start of the season. I was impressed by their organisation. They're a neat and tidy team. And I think they'll be okay this year. I think both these clubs will be fine. But these are the games where, to be fine, you have to get results, certainly if you're the home team. And I just think Watford, again, they beat Man United recently. I think Watford can get results against most teams, and I think it's a tough game for Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough's kind of strength is their youth and their kind of endeavour, but I just think Watford might have a bit too much, so I think a bit too much experience. But, you know, the Riverside isn't an easy place to go, so it's a tough one. But I just fancy Watford on this one, just because they've had some big results against some good teams.
I think Watford are helped by the fact they've got two. I know Odion Ighalo's not performed well in the last 6 months, but with him and Troy Deeney, they've got two genuine goal scorers there, haven't they? And Deeney is captain fantastic, really, for Watford.
He is, yeah. You know, he's a real leader, and I think, as you saw with his goal at West Ham, he can turn it on when it matters. And I think the problem with Watford is that they beat West Ham, they had that great result against United, but then they went and lost to Burnley.
Yeah.
And Middlesbrough is probably a bit similar to Burnley in the sense that it's a promoted team needing to get points on the board early part of the season. So it will be tough, but I just think Watford may have learnt the lesson from what happened at Turf Moor and just have a bit too much nous and a bit too much top-flight experience for Middlesbrough. But it really could go either way, but I will go for Watford on this one.
5-2 Watford to win the game. Southampton versus Burnley, 4 p.m. kick-off on Sunday. Southampton 2-5 to win the match. The draw 7-2. Burnley, big price, 17-2. Southampton haven't conceded since Arsenal beat them back in early September. Their foundations are strong at the moment, Mark, and Burnley have trouble keeping the ball, so they'll probably be chasing it for a long periods in this match against Southampton.
Yeah, I think another problem for Burnley is that Andre Gray is still suspended, so they haven't got that pace up front, which, you know, he makes a big difference. He stretches teams, and, you know, he was a key figure in their defeat at Liverpool at the start of the season. Now, I was at the Arsenal game before the international break where they, you know, they gave Arsenal as good as they got for 93 minutes, and, you know, they could have had a goal or two, but they didn't have the cutting edge. And as we saw, Laurent Koscielny won the game for Arsenal, albeit with his hand, but they still came away with the 3 points, and Burnley ended up with nothing. And I think in the Premier League, when you're a club like Burnley, you need all your best players around, and obviously Gray is such a key asset, and you've got Southampton, who are a good team on a good run. You can't really see anything in this for Burnley.
Southampton to win that game 2-5. Do you think it's comprehensive then?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think if Southampton score early, it could be a 3-0, 3-4-0. And I really respect Burnley's approach, but they really need all their best players available to land the blow on these big teams. And Southampton are a big team in the Premier League, you know, top seven, top eight.
Southampton to win the game 2-0 is even money. Southampton to win that match 2-0. And we finish with the big one this weekend, Liverpool versus Manchester United, 8 p.m. On Monday night. Liverpool 6-5, the draw 12-5, Manchester United 5-2. And Hanstad's offers, Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win, was 13-5, now 3-1. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 4-1. And now 6-1. We've also got enhanced odds offers for markets involving Philip Coutinho and Jesse Lingard on the William Hill website. Manchester United might have won the last four in the league against Liverpool, Mark, but Liverpool did knock them out of the Europa League last season, and they'll be confident having won the last five matches in all competitions. Liverpool 6-5. I fancy them. I think Liverpool win this, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been to enough of these games and seen enough of these games to know that you really can't tell what happens. But over the years, I mean, the recent form has suggested otherwise, but over the years, it's been a real kind of home-away split. United tend to win at Old Trafford and Liverpool have tended to win at Anfield because, you know, a home advantage in these games is massive. And Liverpool at Anfield under lights is another added advantage for Liverpool. And I think, you know, in terms of, from the football sense, they're ahead of the curve on United because, you know, Mourinho's come in and we don't quite know what he wants to do with United yet. He doesn't seem settled on his team, on his players. And, you know, Liverpool on the Klopp they've had 12 months. It was his anniversary last week of his way of playing. I think he's got rid of certain players, brought players in, and that they get it now. They know what he wants, and they're a very quick, very pacey team, and they press very high. And, you know, we saw at Man City to Man United earlier this season with similar kind of football, and they destroyed United for a good 45 minutes. Now, I'm not sure United have got the personnel yet to counter that. United, for me, aren't quick enough. And I think Liverpool, the way they play, will put them on the back foot. United-wise, I don't see where the goals are going to come from. I think, you know, Rooney can't score at the moment. Ibrahimovic is getting the goals. But there's just something that United have got. They're lacking something. I think Liverpool, if they're on the game, can win, but win well.
Liverpool 6-5 to win the match. If you're looking at Liverpool to win minus a goal in the game, that's available at 11-4. You mentioned the lack of maybe goals in this Manchester United team. One stat that stood out to me, Mark, was that Marcus Rashford has scored 12 goals since his debut back in February. That's four more than any other Manchester United player in that spell. And I suppose that's why Zlatan Ibrahimovic has come in the summer. But he's going through a mini drought at the moment, Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, I mean, Zlatan is what he is. I mean, he's a great leader of the line, and he's not the quickest anymore. And I think he's got great aerial power as well, but he's not the sort of guy that's going to get away from defenders these days. I mean, the intriguing thing for me is Rooney, whether Mourinho brings him back in and, you know, plays him at Anfield. He's one goal short, I think, of breaking or equaling on this year's record of Premier League away goals, and he scored at Anfield last season. So, you know, it's a game that Rooney's never really performed in, to be honest. Liverpool away, it's always been a bit of a tricky one for him. But, you know, will he come in at the weekend? He's not played much over the last couple of weeks because of his international situation. But Ibrahimovic has been at home, he's been resting. Matt has been at home, he's been resting. So I'm not sure Rooney will start this week. And I think his best hope is coming off the bench. But there wouldn't be any better place for Rooney to start hitting back than with a goal at Anfield for Man United.
I don't know where you play him though, Mark.
Well, I think he has to play in the final third, either as a number 10 or the number 9. Now, obviously, he's settled on Ibrahimovic's centre-forward. But for me, I think Rooney's a striker. He's a guy, he's got an eye for goal. I think his confidence is on the floor. I just think he needs to, you know, maybe get himself fully fit and just get his confidence back. We all forget that he played a good 12 months in the Louis van Gaal last year as centre-forward, but in playing in a team that didn't create chances, so that would have crushed his confidence to the point where he's now thinking he's a midfielder. He's not a midfielder. He's on the brink of being United's all-time record scorer, is England's all-time record scorer. You don't become a midfielder having been a prolific scorer. And again, I'm not sure what odds are being offered on this, but he's four goals away from breaking Bobby Charlton's all-time scoring record. Four goals. He's only scored twice in the last 6 months, and both have been against Bournemouth. So, you know, at some point, people are going to ask the question, is he really going to break this record? Will he score four more goals this season? Now, you think he would, but we're now into October, and he's only scored once. So, you know, if he hasn't scored another four goals by the end of the season, he won't be there next season. So, at some point, people are going to ask the question, is he really going to break that record? And it seems ridiculous, but four goals, I don't know. I think it's a debatable one.
One final question before we wrap here, Mark. Would you play Wayne Rooney?
I would play Wayne Rooney, actually. I would play him on Monday. I think he's had his backside kicked, as they say, in the game. And I think this is the perfect opportunity for him to come back and prove a point. I think if you leave it too long, his confidence will go even further through the floor. And I just think it, you know, for me, Juan Mata has got a good record at Anfield, but I don't know what else he offers. He's too lightweight for me in a game of this intensity. And I think put Rooney in, set him like you're playing number 10, you're playing behind Ibrahimovic, prove that you can still do it, and get into his head that he's not a defensive midfielder. But, you know, I'm not Jose Mourinho.
Are you at a game this weekend, Mark?
I'm at Liverpool on Monday night, and then I'm off to Barcelona on the Tuesday, so it's a big week.
Very good, yeah, that Barcelona-Manchester City match. I suppose Manchester City, they've got Everton at the weekend in a big game on Saturday afternoon. They need Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling back fit, don't they? Because without them, it's looking like last season's Manchester City side under Manuel Pellegrini. And I suppose Pep Guardiola needs to use that game against Barcelona as a barometer to see how far they've progressed under his tutelage in the last 4 or 5 months.
I think it's a massive week for Man City, because obviously the defeat at Tottenham ended the chances of, you know, breaking records as unbeaten teams. The game at Celtic also exposed some frailties at the back. And prior to that, I was thinking, apart from 45 minutes against Man United, who weren't very good that day, City hadn't really beaten anybody this season. They'd beaten a lot of teams in the bottom six, bottom eight. The first time they come across a top four team from last season, they lost. Now, Everton are a much better team under Ronald Koeman. They've got a lot of, certainly in Lukaku's on form, they've got a lot of ability, Everton. I think they've got a unit, they've got a way of playing. And Everton could get a result at City tomorrow. And if they get a result at City, then all of a sudden they go to Barcelona. People start asking questions, is the Guardiola revolution what it was? And so Everton's a really awkward game for City tomorrow, because coming before Barcelona, are they, just like you said about Leicester, are City going to be on it completely? Because if they're not, Everton could beat them.
I like 6-1 Everton as well. That's a big price, isn't it? Man City are 1-2 to win that match on Saturday afternoon. So a big price on Everton.
Yeah, I mean, that for me, I mean, that if somebody's got a spare 50 quid line, that is definitely worth a punt, because Everton, they're a good team. You know, Everton can drop points against anybody, but they can also beat anybody. I think Lukaku always gives them a threat.
Yeah, he does. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for your company. If you want to follow Mark on Twitter, it's @MarkOgden_, and you can follow myself @DKellner. Mark, enjoy your trip to Anfield and to the new camp in the week as well, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Hey! Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.